Mesa's Hall of Heroes celebration right here in Greenwood. I tell you what, I was very privileged to be there yesterday. So glad I got to go and saw a lot of people I know right there at the Hall of Heroes ceremony over there at Lander University in the Josephine B. Abney Cultural Center. We had 17 new inductees. A lot of inductees from the past were also there with the Hall of Heroes. And I tell you what, it's such a meaningful ceremony that I thought, you know, I want to play parts of this for you. If you weren't there, of course, you missed out seeing 17 gallant men who were inducted into the Hall of Heroes. Before it's over, we'll be sure to read out the names of those new inductees because, you know, one of the things about the Hall of Heroes is that sometimes somebody served in the military and you never knew the heroic things that they did for our country. But I'm going to start off by playing something that always gets to me and always is meaningful to look around the room, and that is to see each branch of the service honored by their music. So let's start off by hearing a little of that, and then I'll be right back.
This time I'd like to ask each and every member of the military, past and present, please stand when you hear your branch of military song being played.
that's right. There is something about hearing all those military branches songs that just kind of gives you chills, doesn't it? Particularly when you see all the different branches standing there honoring each other. Well, that was the beginning of it. And of course, we had National Anthem. They had Carrie Bolt was introducing many, many people. They talked about the Hall of Heroes pavers that are going to be out front and their vision for the future on how the front of the Veterans Building is going to look right there. The old library, boy, it's going to be a changing, folks. So they talked about that. They're going to have pavers, I believe it is, anywhere from $150 up to about $700, $750, which you'll be able to purchase in memorial for a loved one. Plus, they're going to have a lot of other things like benches and whatnot that one can purchase too. So if you're interested in that, you really ought to go by the Veterans Administration there and see the mock-up that they have and let them know what you'd be interested in purchasing. So they are now capable of doing that since the Hall of Heroes is a nonprofit corporation now. They can now take in those donations to be able to set up for those pavers. They're actually made out of granite. Very, very nice. So they talked about what was going to happen with the Hall of Heroes. And, of course, they also talked about how they have redone with the Hall of Heroes Museum that is there. There's so many aspects to that building. Just Carrie Bolt was very gracious in giving out a lot of kudos for a lot of people that work very, very hard to make this all come together. We come back. We're going to hear a introduction of General Goff, and then also the introduction for Barry Ramey, who was Major Barry Ramey, who actually gave the keynote address for this. We're only going to hear parts of it because I just thought we'd just close and talk about a few of the aspects of this, and hope that if you didn't have it on your calendar this year, if you missed it this year, that you will put it on your calendar for another year. But right now, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. Right back here. I'm Ann Eller. 86, 87 degrees out there. Going to cool down to 67 degrees. Isn't that nice? Yes, it is. But we're talking about the Hall of Heroes ceremony that I was privileged to be at yesterday. One of the things that always seems to be part of these ceremonies is the POW ceremony that the Ladies Auxiliary for VFW Post 8131 performed. And I don't know if you've actually ever heard this. You may not have ever heard this ceremony, or it may have been a long, long time since you've heard it. But you know, our POWs, I think I heard Sandra Johnson say there's something like 80,000 still missing POWs, missing in action, don't know what happened to them. Americans out there in the world. So when you put it in that context, this really is very, very meaningful. So let's hear the POW ceremony that they did yesterday. Of course, it's very meaningful if you can see it in person, but I think it'll mean just as much to you when you see that the only thing on the stage is one chair, one round table, and a white tablecloth on that table. Let's take a listen.
At this time, I'd like to introduce Ms. Sandra Johnston. She is the president of the Ladies Auxiliary of Veterans Foreign Wars, Post 8131. She and her crew will do a tribute to the nation's prisoners of war and missing in action. Ms. Johnston.
Thank you, Mr. Bolt. Honored veterans, distinguished guests, comrades and sisters, families and friends. It is an honor and a privilege for the Ladies Auxiliary to the Veterans of Foreign Wars, Greenwood Post 8131, to be here today to help commemorate the third anniversary of the Veterans Hall of Heroes. I'd like to introduce my crew, as Mr. Bolt kindly refers to them. Senior Vice President, Irene Price. Junior Vice President, Linda Bell. Youth Activities Chairman, Susan Murphy. Legislative Chairman, Mary Monarch. Chaplain, Cindy Peake. Buddy Poppy Chairman, Nina Jean Williams. In 1971, while the Vietnam War was still being fought, Mary Hoff, the wife of a service member missing in action, recognized the need for a symbol for the United States POW MIAs, some of whom had been held captive for as many as 7 years. These ones referred to as POWs, or prisoners of war, and MIAs missing in action, we call brothers and sisters. The flag was designed by Newt Heisley, a veteran and commercial artist, and features a white disc against a field of black. In the white disc is a silhouette of the bust of a man, a watchtower with a guard on patrol, and a strand of barbed wire. Above the disc are the white letters POW and MIA, framing a white five-pointed star. Below the disc is a black and white wreath, and below the wreath is the white motto, "You are not forgotten." The flag is not one that represents an individual state, branch of the service, or select group. It is the flag that calls to mind the plight of those Americans who have sacrificed their own freedom to preserve liberty for all of us. Its presence serves to remind us that while we enjoy the privilege of freedom, somewhere there are soldiers who have not been accounted for and may in fact be held against their will by the enemies of freedom. Those who have served and those currently serving in branches of our United States military are ever mindful of the sweetness of enduring peace has always been tainted by the bitterness of personal sacrifice. We are compelled then to never forget that while we enjoy our daily pleasures, there are others who have endured and may still be enduring the agonies of pain, deprivation, or imprisonment. These brave men and women answer our nation's call and serve the cause of freedom. So then, this table you see before you is a very special way of symbolizing the fact that some members of our armed forces are still missing from our ranks and unable to be with their loved ones and families. Today, we join together to pay our humble tribute to them and bear witness to their continued absence. I call to your attention this table set for one, which symbolizes the frailty of one prisoner alone against his or her oppressors, and representing all Americans still missing from each of the five services, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, as well as civilians. The small table is set for one, symbolizing the frailty of one prisoner alone against his or her oppressors, and representing all Americans still missing from our ranks. The table is round, showing our everlasting concern for our men and women still missing. The tablecloth is white, symbolizing the purity of their motives when answering the call to duty. A single red rose reminds us of the life of each of the missing and their loved ones and friends who keep the faith while seeking answers. The vase is tied with a red ribbon, which is the symbol of our determination to account for our missing, and that we continue to search. A slice of lemon on the bread plate reminds us of the bitter fate of those captured or missing in a foreign land. A pinch of salt on the plate symbolizes the tears endured by those missing and their families who seek answers. An inverted glass at the place setting brings to mind the POW or MIA's inability to share in a toast this evening with us as we dine. The candle is reminiscent of the light of hope which lives in our hearts to illuminate their way home, away from their captors, into the open arms of a grateful nation. A Holy Bible is placed prominently on the table. The Bible represents the strength gained through faith to sustain those lost from our country, founded as one nation under God. The American flag represents their faithful service to our country and our gratitude to them. The POW/MI flag is the official reminder of all those still missing and the only flag, except our national flag, which has flown above the White House, United States diplomatic posts, and military installations. Last of all is an empty chair, as though waiting for someone. The empty chair symbolizes that although these ones we recognize now are missing, they are not forgotten. Last month, the Defense POW/MIA office announced the identification of remains belonging to five American servicemen who had been missing in action since World War II and Korea. Today, more than 83,000 Americans are still missing from World War II, the Korean War, the Veteran War, Vietnam War, the Gulf War. Please bow your heads in prayer. We lift up our prayers to the Supreme Commander, God Almighty, that all our comrades will soon be back within our ranks. Let us remember and never forget their sacrifices. May God forever watch over them and protect them and their families. And may each of us live our lives worthy of their sacrifice in the way that we love and serve. In God we trust, and in his name we pray. Amen.
Well, that was Sandra Johnson and the crew of the Greenwood Ladies Auxiliary, Veterans of Foreign War Ladies Auxiliary, VFW Post 8131. Sandra works tirelessly and has really worked very, very hard. Their organization is getting bigger and bigger. And if you are the wife or daughter or relative of a veteran, they would love to have you come and be part of their group. So they meet at the Veterans Center. They do a lot of good works, and that ceremony is always so meaningful. Well, I am Ann Eller, and I am right here with you this afternoon. We come back. We've got more to play from our ceremony on yesterday afternoon. This is from the Hall of Heroes right here on WCRS. It was at the Lander Cultural Center right there yesterday afternoon at 3 o'clock. By the way, I do need to say a big kudos to Carrie Bolt and his staff, Rosalind and crew, because they worked so hard. On Saturday, they had a 10th anniversary celebration over there in Lawrence, and then on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, they did this. And also, Carrie Bolt and Tom Bishop were on the line with county council that was down meeting. I think it was Hilton Head, or I think that's where it was, where they were trying to get an award for the Veterans Center there. So there was a lot going on, and it still came off very, very well. Carrie, Rosalind, y'all did an excellent job. I know anybody that was there would tell you that. Hey, I am Ann Eller. It is time for South Carolina Radio News. We'll be back after the news.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, Oh, that's right. Craggy voice Ann Eller is here with you this afternoon. I've been doing a lot of talking today, but anyways, glad to be here with you. Glad to be sharing the Hall of Heroes yesterday. I tell you what, it was a awesome experience. It always, I don't know, somewhere in there, I think everybody at that ceremony must have shed a tear or two, because there's something that's special for everybody at that ceremony. But now I wanted to play, actually it was the introduction of General Goff. General Goff is General Marie Goff, first female general. And also she is, she graduated from Lander University, so she has quite a background. In fact, we're looking forward to having her on the show with us. So she said she'd love to come up and be on the show, meet me at the diner. So we'll be doing that very soon, too. I know that would be an interesting conversation. How is it to be a general and be female? Yes. Well, anyways, let's go ahead and listen to this. It's also the introduction of our keynote speaker, who was Major Barry Ramey. And we actually sat next to his daughter, who was a sophomore in high school. And boy, she was proud. She pointed out when we sat down next door, that's my dad. He's the speaker. And so we enjoyed sitting next to her, and she couldn't have been prouder of her dad giving the speech. But we don't have all the speech, but we are going to play a little bit of this introduction. Kind of fun. I hope you enjoy it. And as always, with the sadness, there's a little humor, too. So here you go.
General Goff, I've always wanted to say this. General Goff, post.
I just wanted to say that it's an honor for me to be here today on behalf of Major General Livingston, the Adjutant General of the South Carolina National Guard. And I always, for the past 4 years, I've gone about and talked about the amazing things that our service members and their families have done in the past 11 years of war. And some of the things that we're doing now in the National Guard is that we were wanting to make sure that those service members have employment when they return home. So in our Service Member and Family Care Directorate, we have partnered with the Department of Employment and Workforce and the Governor's Office to launch Operation Palmetto Employment. And since we launched that program, or even before then, a couple of years before then, when we initiated the program from the Guard side, we have reduced the unemployment rate of our service members from over 16% to a little less than 3%. So that's just something amazing that we feel. We're very excited about that, and it's all about the individualized case management that we do, where we match up a service member with not just any job, but a job that matches their skill sets. And we partnered with the industry who want to hire our service members because of the values that they have. So it's an honor for me to be in this room in the presence of so many heroes throughout the wars that we've had, and to be a part of this this celebration. But I want to introduce Major Ramey, because Major Ramey is the guest speaker today. And I'll tell you that Major Ramey came to my office the other day, and he said, I think we have this backwards. He said, I think I'm supposed to introduce you to speak. And I said, no, let me tell you something. This is all about the service members, the people who have deployed. We've had over 18,000 service members who've deployed, and they're so amazing, and Major Ramey is one of those. So it's my honor to introduce him. I'll tell you that he is, he's currently working in the Joint Operations Center of the South Carolina National Guard. That's the program that comes under me. And so what he does in there is prepare for domestic operations, where we support law enforcement and other civilian authorities in the event of a natural or man-made disaster. So I'd like to thank our police officers, firefighters, and those people who put their lives in harm's way every day for us as well. And so he does that. He plans those operations. But he graduated from Limestone College with a Bachelor of Arts degree, and he was commissioned at our Palmetto Military Academy. And his awards are so numerous, but he holds the NATO Medal for Service in Kosovo and Afghanistan, Meritorious Service Medal, Global War on Terrorism Medal, and also foreign awards, the Ex-Yugoslavia Commemorative Medal for France and the Balkan Service Medal for Portugal. And in addition to all of that that he does, he's from Pelzer, and he is very active in other military and civic organizations, including the National Guard Association of South Carolina and the United States, Palmetto Military Academy Association, South Carolina Troopers Association, Wild Turkey Federation, and he's also a member of Brookwood Church. So please welcome Major Barry Raymond.
There for a second, I thought I was getting a new award from being from Pelzer. I was getting excited. Thank you, ma'am, for that outstanding introduction. It's true that I was at her office the other day. Essentially, majors don't introduce generals. Generals don't introduce majors. It's the opposite way around. So wow, it's tremendous. Y'all saw that. I'd also like to say thank you to you, and also like to recognize your husband, Colonel Retired Eddie Goff, who's also here today. Sir, it's good to see you. Also, before I get started, General Goff, you may or may not know this. I know we've talked about the fact that this is her alma mater, but she's also the historical figure. She's the first general officer from South Carolina that is, in fact, a female. So that's quite a comment. It is true that she is the director of the Joint Staff. I am the Deputy J3. Correction, Deputy J35, which is Future Plans Operations. I won't bore you with the details. My boss is the J35, and then my boss's boss is the J3, or Operations on the Joint Staff. So if you can do that little, follow that little click, she's my boss's boss's boss. So I hope I don't screw this up. Okay. I'd like to say thank you, Carrie Bolt, Hall of Heroes, everybody that invited me here. Carrie, you the man? Cool. It's truly a privilege to be here. I say that very sincerely. The general is correct. I'm a staff officer. I spend most of my times with maps and charts and on the phone and validating and verifying and doing alternate courses of actions and contingencies. I write orders. I check orders. I review regulations. I am a staff puke. So, for me to be able to get out here amongst veterans is awesome for me. I'm an infantry officer by training. So, you know, I'm indoctrinated with close with and destroy the enemy by firepower and maneuver, and then go ahead and prepare for the counter assault by overwhelming fire and close combat. You just can't do that every day here. So it's good for me to be in good company. As a consequence of me being an infantry officer, I'm not authorized to use words of three syllables or more, so that'll keep this relatively short. I'd like to start off with a quote from Rick Warren from The Purpose-Driven Life, and I'll come back to it. Essentially, he says, life without purpose is just existing. I'll let you think on that for a second. Today, I don't want to talk about myself, because we just don't have that kind of time. Right, Carrie? I want to talk about you veterans. You see, because technically I'm not a veteran. I'm still serving. There's lots of definitions of veteran out there, but the federal definition, for example, is any person who has served for any length of time in any branch of the military service. That's the official military definition of veteran. There's several others out there. One I saw is anybody with long working or long periods of experience makes you a veteran. It comes from the Latin word vitus, which means old. I turn 46 tomorrow, so maybe technically I'm a veteran. I don't know. Veterans have a common bond. We have a brotherhood, so to speak. You've heard that before, I'm sure. But why? Why is that so? Is it the affiliation with the military service? I mean, there's other organizations out there that have organizations and clubs and that kind of thing. So why the strong brotherhood? Is it always combat? I don't think so. So what's the affiliation? Well, I submit to you that people join the military service for different reasons.
And then he went on to discuss the different reasons. One of the things that he said was it was not the food and it was not the pay. He then went on to talk about he highlighted the loyalty of Greek citizen soldiers under Leonidas at the Battle of Thermopylae. He spent a good while talking about comparing it with how that worked out. But essentially, he came down to the fact is when you are shoulder to shoulder, you develop a bond. When you're responsible for the person next to you and the person next to you is responsible for you, you develop a bond. I also thought it was very, very interesting that he said tank soldiers don't associate with infantry soldiers, that it's very tight-knit specific groups within that group, which I thought was very interesting. So it was a good conversation. Just wanted to play a little bit of it so you could hear it. But right now, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and I'll be back to finish up the show.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Ah, that's right. We're right back here. I'm Ann Eller, Sharp Facets Gallery. I wanted to go over the list of inductees into the Hall of Heroes 2014. Some were there, some were minus. They had either already died or they were killed in action. So let me just read you the list here. PFC William Othello Adams Jr., USMC Vietnam, killed in action. Seaman Lester James Spry Jr., USN World War II, he had died. CPL James Blair, USMC Vietnam. CPL Harry Cowan, USA Korea, and he had died. PFC Inman James Roland Sr., USMC and World War II. Major Dennis Edward Sullivan, USA, Korea, and Vietnam. SSG Clyde Thomas Miller, USA, Vietnam. Sergeant Thomas H. Cobb, USMC, World War II. SFC Alvin Connell, USA, U.S. Air Force, World War II, and Korea. CMC, Fred Malone, U.S. Air Force, USN, Korea, and Vietnam. I personally know Fred Malone. What a great guy. Sergeant James Edward Lawton, USMC, Vietnam. Sergeant James Wayne Bell, U.S. Air Force, Vietnam. Sergeant John Willis Fuller, Jr., USA Desert Storm, he had already died. Private John H. Rogers, USA World War II, he had died. And then we get to Sergeant Eric Andrew Pfeiffer, USA Afghanistan, killed in action. Many of you may remember me talking about after the ceremony that was held at the library for Sergeant Eric Andrew Pfeiffer. His parents accepted his award in his honor. And this is when you know that a ceremony means so much to so many different people in so many different ways. Carrie Bolt, was reading all the information about each one, and he got to Sergeant Eric Andrew Pfeiffer, and he said, I just can't do it. So he asked Mike Pitts to come up and read the information about him. His parents were there. His dad had actually pinned him when he was in the service. He was retired military, of course, and it was a very moving time for them. And we get to Sergeant Thomas B. Brooks, USMA, World War II. He also had died. And Captain George M. Hodson, Jr., USA, World War II. Now, this was the last award for the day. And it was most meaningful because he didn't know that he was going to get the Purple Heart that he had never gotten. So he was totally surprised. Now, he is 90, I think he's 97, and he received the Bronze Star, the U.S. military's fourth highest award, 70 years after his action at the Hall of Heroes. And he had been injured, and somehow when he was in the hospital, there had been a, due to a mix-up in some paperwork while he was in the hospital recovering from his injuries, he never got it. So he served in the U.S. Army, landing on at Omaha Beach in the Allied invasion of Normandy, wounded during the fighting of the Battle of, I'm not even going to try to say it. He was singled out, though, for fighting during this fighting in and around the devastated town. But he did not get his Bronze Star. So he got it then, and he also received the Purple Heart that was presented with his Bronze Star. So how about that? It was a very awe-inspiring, and you could see the smile that was on his face. This is what I'm telling you. You just never know who walks amongst us, who has done courageous and great things for us and our country, so that we too can enjoy the wonderful things that we have in this country. Sometimes we take them for granted. Sometimes we don't think they're that special. But believe me, they are. I want to go to fast forward to the end of the ceremony, where there is a little video here. It shows a man, 60, 70 years old, sitting at a diner. And a young recruit comes in with his fatigues on, and he asks for a cup of coffee. And he's told, sure. They get him a cup of coffee, and they hand it to him, and he goes, how much? And they say, oh, no charge for you, sir. Well, he thanks them, and he goes over, and he sits down in a booth. And as he's sitting in a booth across in another booth at the diner is a 7 or 8 year old young boy with his mom. So he goes over and he thanks the young recruit for his service. And the young boy asks if he can have his picture taken with his hero. All the while, the gentleman that is sitting at the table at the diner is looking down at his forearm, where on his forearm is a tattoo, and tattooed on it is Vietnam. And you know that this gentleman is feeling just not right. It's just not right. Well, a few minutes later in the video, the young boy comes up to the older man who had the tattoo on his arm, and he says, sir, I want to thank you for your service. And the guy looked at him, and he goes, oh, thank you. And he sits up a little straighter. And then he says to him, sir, can I have my picture taken with you? The guy sitting over there at the booth, the young recruit with his fatigues on, said, you are the real hero. And he sat up a little straighter, and he had his picture taken, and he felt so much better. So many times we think that it doesn't matter. But it does matter. It matters every day. So when you see someone that has the battle scars of battle. When you see someone that is wearing a hat that says Vietnam or World War II or Korea, make sure you thank them, but make sure you keep them in your heart, because they have given and sacrificed so much, and so many times we don't know the heroic things that they have done for us. I want to close this with what they actually closed the ceremony with, Sandy Patty singing Amazing Grace. It is truly amazing. What a beautiful ceremony this was, and to talk to people that are real heroes, George Hodson Jr., or whether it was another one of the 17 inductees. 10 of them were there. I think 7 had actually either been killed in action or already died. This was truly inspirational. So, I want to play this, but I also want to tell you, you've been listening to me, Ann Eller, right here on WCRS. So let's hear Sandy Patty as we close out the show.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like but now am found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught
about you, but that sure sends chills up my spine. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I certainly hope you'll share the information that we gave out here today. And I hope if you miss the Hall of Heroes ceremony that next year, you make sure that you are there. We'll sure be talking about it next year and the year after. I want to say a big thank you again to Carrie Bolt and his staff, Rosalind, and all that worked hard to make this come together. You did an awesome job. And I know the 17 people that were inducted here and their families really appreciate what you did. That's going to do it for me. God bless us, each and every one. Bye-bye, everybody.